and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. To ask a question, you may press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to your host for today's conference, Mr. Rich Vining. Sir, you may begin.
Thanks, Lisa. Yes, I'm Rich Vining. I'm the product marketing manager for the Tivoli Storage Manager portfolio. That includes Fastback and CDP for Files. What we're going to talk today about is data reduction. And this is a very hot topic in the world of IT, and we'll talk about why. I want to preface it a little bit by saying that, you know, most of the conversation in the world centers around data deduplication, and I always have a hard time saying that. But it's been a hot technology for some time now, a year or 2 years, and pretty much every backup application and virtual tape library application and other systems are all trying to jump on this bandwagon of data deduplication. And it's a very good technology for reducing the amount of data that you have to store and manage. But it's not the only data reduction technology. And I'm going to talk about why IBM is really strong in terms of an overall holistic view or approach to data reduction, including data deduplication. So with that, I'll go to slide two, the agenda. You know, we're going to talk about the tidal wave of data. We in the storage industry have been talking about that for some time. The amount of data continues to grow out of control, and we're going to explore that a little bit. And then I've set this up in four stages of how to reduce your data footprint. And we'll step through that and go through some of the products and solutions that IBM has to address it in different ways. And then why is IBM, you know, a leader in this space, and what can we do to improve our position in that space, and then next steps. And then we'll open it up for questions at the end. The idea is you press star one, and the operator will queue you up and let you in. So with that, I'll move on to slide three. And so we'll talk about the tidal wave of data. And even in this down economy, the analysts, you know, have reduced their predictions on how much data will grow, but it's still growing very, very rapidly. IDC considers it to be growing up at 48% per year, even after adjusting for the slowed economy. And that's a lot of data to have to keep buying more storage for, figuring out how to protect it. Do you need more administrators? Do you need more floor space, more power? It gets to be a very daunting challenge for companies. Part of it is that, you know, we're becoming more digital. You know, it's the smarter planet story. We're becoming more interconnected, more intelligent, and all that is creating more and more data. More information is created digitally. Less is created on paper or such. And due to government regulations, we need to keep more of it for longer periods of time. So that includes the overall store of data that we're keeping. And because it's all becoming digital, the costs of losing data are becoming unacceptable. You know, companies, if they don't have access to their data or their applications, can lose revenues. You know, if you go to Amazon.com and Amazon.com is down, you're going to go over to Target.com or someplace else and go buy your thing. So you have to have access to your data at all times. Otherwise, customers are going to go someplace else. If customers see that you're losing data, or especially their personal data, they're going to lose confidence in you. You might face embarrassment in the marketplace. We see that in the Wall Street Journal and such. And, you know, failure to produce based on contracts and stuff can result in fines. If you don't produce information that the government asks or court asks for, you can face penalties that way as well. And, of course, the big fear factor is CEOs and CFOs can go to jail under the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. So overall, the bottom there, I say, you know, we need to do more with less, and we need to do it smarter. So, you know, yeah, we're going to have more information, but how do we manage it in a smarter way and reduce the problem that customers are having? Slide four is kind of a cute way of showing data growth on a personal level. This shows how much data per person on the planet is being stored. In 2003, if you took the population of the planet in 2003 and divided it by the amount of storage capacity that was in use, you'd have less than a gigabyte per person. And now, looking forward in 2010, We're expecting it to be over 128 gigabytes per person. That's a huge growth ramp, and that's not going to stop. That's going to continue to grow over time as more and more people get online, as more people are sending images through Facebook and such like that. It's just creating more data. On slide five, this all gets down to the storage administrator. Their pains are growing, and some of the consequences with data growth is that with more data, it takes longer to perform backups. It's just physics. So the more data you have, the more time you need. And if that time exceeds the amount of time that the company gives you to do that backup for operational reasons, then your choice is either shutting down the company or not doing the backup. And in that case, data becomes at risk of being lost. Also, on the flip side, it takes longer to perform recoveries. So, if it takes you longer to load up your tapes and restore the data and get everything back up and running, you're going to have downtime, and that downtime costs money. And, of course, going back to the first step there, if data isn't protected in the first place, it's very, very difficult to recover. It could cost you an awful lot of money to recreate that data that you can't recover. The solution up until this point has been, go buy more storage, okay? So every quarter, go buy another terabyte of storage and just keep growing your facilities that way. But it's becoming a problem. Companies are running out of floor space. The data centers are bursting at the seams. Power and cooling become issues. It's getting very expensive for those things. And, of course, you can't keep adding administrators. The companies are trying to cut back on staff, not add staff. So these are becoming, people are being given stretched, as we are, in all of our lives. And then, of course, new data sources keep coming online. So we're adding new applications, new companies see new opportunities to go into the marketplace, and they create new data sources. And then mergers and acquisitions also create increased storage and problems for administrators. Slide six is the marketing spin that I have to put into all my presentations. We're very much tied into the dynamic infrastructure messaging, which is part of the Smarter Planet messaging. And that's all about, reducing costs, improving service levels, and mitigating or managing risks. And everything that we're doing in the storage software business, especially with the release of Tivoli Storage Manager 6.1, really gets to these three points. Okay, we're going to help customers lower their costs, both capital acquisition costs and administrative costs. We're going to help them improve service levels by performing backups faster, by doing restores faster, by reducing downtime, and we're going to mitigate risks by making things more reliable, more automated, taking a lot of the manual processes out of this, so that they have less risk in terms of losing data. Slide seven, we're going to get in now into the data reduction part of the message. Okay, so now we know we've got too much data, it's growing, we need to find ways to manage it and manage that growth and actually reduce the storage capacity footprint that we're experiencing. And I'm going to go through it in four steps. First one is avoiding duplicate data. One of the biggest growth engines in data growth is duplicate data. We're creating copies of data for backup, for replication, for testing, for whatever. And that's a big cause. And data deduplication actually treats that. So it's getting rid of all that duplicate data and knocking it down to one piece. And we're going to talk about that in depth. But that's treating the symptom. It's not treating the cause. The cause is you're creating duplicates. So why don't we stop doing that? And I'm going to talk about that. Step two is categorize your data. Figure out what you have. And, what do you really need to keep? What do you need in your production systems? What can you move over to secondary systems? What can you get rid of? And we've got solutions for that. Third is to automate all that so that, in the background, data is just moving to the proper storage tier, or it's being deleted or whatever, so that the needs of the business are being met with the minimal cost involved in storing that data. And then fourth is, okay, now, we've got our production systems down to, the data that we actually need to keep to run the business, but how do we compress that? How do we deduplicate that and save the company even more money? Okay, so skipping over to slide nine, we're going to take a look at the first step, which is avoiding data duplication. And one of the biggest problems there is that all backup applications in the marketplace, except for our products, TSM and Fastback and CDP for Files, every other product out there requires the customer to perform a full backup periodically, usually weekly, on the weekends. So they might do incremental backups during the week like we do, but then at the end of the week they have to perform a full backup, and that's so that they're able to do a reasonably fast recovery. Well, that full backup is basically making a copy of a lot of the data that was in the full backup the previous week. So, you know, if only 20% of your data changes on a weekly basis, that means 80% of that data is being copied over and over and over again every week, creating duplicates, and that creates an enormous growth in storage. And I'll show you that graphically in a second. Our products are smarter. Our products only do incremental backups. So Tivoli Storage Manager, Tivoli Storage Manager Fastback, Tivoli Continuous Data Protection for Files. These products do a full backup when you first install them, and then only capture the changes or the new data that's happening however often you're doing the backups. And that creates an enormous savings in terms of capacity space. So slide 10, talk about features of this. For TSM, we call it progressive incremental backup. We'd like to call it incremental forever, but the lawyers don't like us saying that. The features are, you know, we're only capturing the new and the changed files, as I said. There's no redundant backups. The restores don't require the same file to be restored multiple times. So, you know, if you're doing a full back, if you're doing a restore from somebody else's backup, you'd have to, you know, restore a file many times, depending on how many times it was on the various tapes that you have to load. So we're getting rid of the wasteful full backups, and you know, we take care of this in a very advanced way. Even though the product's been around for 15 years, it's really cutting edge stuff in terms of the way that we're managing this data within our TSM repositories. The benefits are obviously less storage space, less network bandwidth are used. You don't have to have somebody running these full backups on the weekends. You can have shorter backup windows because you don't have to do all this extra backup, and the fast and accurate restores because you don't have to restore everything. Slide 11 shows this graphically. In this case, it's showing the amount of capacity that's used on a daily basis to perform backup for three different backup models. The yellow lines are a full plus differential, means it's capturing the data from any data that's changed since the last full backup. So on Monday, it's a little bit of data. On Tuesday, it's a little more because it's capturing Monday's and Tuesday's data. Wednesday is capturing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And as you can see, the data grows until at the end of the week. On the weekend, you have to do a full backup. And then the curve goes down again to just capture Monday's data. The blue bar is full plus incremental, and that's basically capturing just the changes for that day, and then at the end of the week, performing the full backup. So in order to do a restore, you have to restore first the full backup, and then Monday's data, then Tuesday's data, then Wednesday's data, you know, if your problem happened on Wednesday or Thursday. And then the red bar is TSM's progressive incremental. It's similar for the fastback block-level incremental as well. And here all we're doing is capturing the changed data on a daily basis and nothing more. So on this chart, you know, smaller bars are better than bigger bars. And, you know, to the right, you can see that, you know, for the full plus differential, it requires 26 terabytes of storage to back up, you know, a 2-terabyte system over a 1-month period. You know, that's enormous. You figure I've got 2 terabytes of data and I need 26 terabytes to perform backups. That's kind of crazy. But that's what our competitors are asking customers to do. For the full plus incremental, it's 14 terabytes, and for TSM, it's 7 terabytes. So you can see the savings there based on just this simple example. Slide 12 I'm not going to go through, but it's a customer case study of a large insurance company. They wouldn't let us use their name. But, you know, deploying a range of IBM products, they were able to reduce their storage capacity requirements as well as solve other problems. So I'm going to move on to the second category, which is data migration and deletion. And we have a product called Tivoli Storage Productivity Center for Data. And this is a really cool product that allows you to take a look into your data stores and categorize that data and do queries on it and figure out what you've got in terms of how long has it been out there, how long has it been since it's been last opened, what application does it belong to, who owns it, where is it located. excuse me. And this gives you the insights you need to create policies to say, okay, for this data that's more than 90 days old that I'm never going to touch again, let's get it off the production system and move it someplace else so it's not clogging up the production system. And it's really effective for that. So moving on to slide 14 or 15, we're going to move into what we do with that now, with that intelligence that we gain from looking into our storage systems and categorizing everything. Now we can automate the processes to meet those policy requirements. And on slide 16, we talk about two of our products, Tilly Storage Manager 6 for space management and Tilly Storage Manager 6 HSM for Windows. Both of these products automatically migrate data based on policies that the administrator sets to move the data off of primary storage onto some secondary tier of storage, and then maybe a third tier, maybe a fourth tier. It depends on the requirements of the customer and what their environment is. But it's really, really slick in that what it does is it says, okay, this data meets my requirements to move the data. It's 90 days old. Nobody's touched it. It's this application and such. And what it'll do is it'll copy that data to a Tivoli Storage Manager storage pool. It'll leave behind a little stub file that basically is a pointer to where the file moved to. So that stub file is really just it's as small as you can get in terms of a disk. It's, I think, 4 kilobytes. And that's the smallest file you can store on a disk. And it can replace, a gigabyte file or megabytes of file. So you can reduce your capacity on the primary systems by an enormous amount. And you got to figure the most amount of data you have is your old data, right? It's, as time goes on, you're creating new data, creating new data, creating new data, but all of that eventually becomes old data that's no longer really necessary. And that's what grows. It's your older data that's growing. The amount of new data you're creating can stay fairly constant if your business isn't changing a lot, right? So, you take in so many transactions today, that's your new data. Tomorrow, that becomes yesterday's data and such. So as more data flows into the back end, you can see that adding more storage on the front end doesn't really make a lot of sense. It's much better to add storage on the back end, which is much cheaper storage, easier to manage, and such. So all of that becomes automated, and it's very easy to find and retrieve your files, and it's a great solution for data migration. Slide 17 gets into that a little bit more. It's used for migrating inactive data. You don't want to have to be moving data around when customers are using it quite a bit. But once it's become older and not accessed that much, it's really time to move it, and we do that very efficiently. There's a transparent recall. Since we leave this pointer on the primary storage, the application, the user, looks for the data, accesses it in the same way they would had it not been migrated. They don't know the difference, except maybe it takes a little bit longer to retrieve the data, depending on where it's been stored. It's integrated with backups, so we know, TSM knows that file has been moved and doesn't try to back it up ever again. So it's it's very TSM is a very intelligent system and knows about this stuff. So the benefits are obviously, we're going to reduce the amount of data that you're storing on your file systems, your primary systems, and that requires, it makes it easier to back it up. It reduces the amount of capacity you have to keep buying. What you have today may last you much, much longer because you're not continually adding more data to the system. It'll reduce backup times, reduces restore times, and it eliminates manual file cleanup activities. So a very powerful solution for reducing the amount of capacity that you need on the front end. Slide 18, we talk about archiving, which is another similar solution to migration. It's a little bit different in that we're actually moving the data to an archive repository without leaving the stub file or the pointer file behind. And this is really for data that's going to be stored long-term, and the user, the application, the business knows that this repository is really for long-term archive, and it's no longer in the production system. So that reduces the primary storage even more by getting rid of the stub file, but also it becomes an efficient way to manage retention policies. So we can say this data can't be deleted for X period of time, say 5 years or 7 years or 15 years, based on the industry requirements or your corporate governance requirements that you have. Also provide some other functionality like retention holds. Say like you get a court order saying don't delete any of this information while you're being sued. We can put that in, that hold in automatically, and that data can't be changed or deleted during the discovery phase. So the benefits, record retention. We've got speed recovery times because now all that data doesn't need to be recovered because it's not on the primary system. So if you need to recover that system, it's much easier to restore because there's less data to restore. Reduce backup times again because there's less data. We can move files within the hierarchy of storage. It doesn't need to all stay in one place. Depending, again, on policies that meet the business needs, you can move data between hard disk, between optical to tape, or any other storage medium. We archive files with indexes to describe the metadata or what the file is for, so it makes it easier to find it over the long term. Slide 19, we have right now actually several archive solutions. This slide shows two of them. One is we have archive built directly into TSM. So you can set up archive policies within TSM, so some data is being backed up by TSM, and then based on the policies, you can grab some of that data and archive it into the hierarchy of storage. All nice. If you're using TSM, then this is a nice solution for doing archiving. If you're not using TSM or you've got other applications that want to archive directly without going through a backup application, then today we have the DR550. And DR550 actually includes a version of TSM called System Storage Archive Manager. But it's basically TSM inside. But it's an appliance approach to doing archive. And so you can have like medical imaging applications or financial management applications that say, based on our policies, we want to archive data after 90 days. And those applications can write directly to the DR550. DR550 will be replaced later this year by the IBM Information Archive, which provides greater scalability and other neat features that I'm not going to get into here. In fact, I think John Foley's got a session on that coming up very shortly. Slide 20 is another archiving application that we have. It's from an acquisition called Princeton Softech. The product is called Optim, and it's a pretty slick application for archiving database information. So, as TSM will archive files, Optim will allow you to pull individual records out of large databases and archive those to disk. And then we have very tight integration between Optim and TSM to be able to take those archive files from Optim and automatically move them into the TSM storage hierarchy so you can get them off of primary storage. So it's a really nice solution for that. We have other applications as well for archiving. We've got Common Store for doing email archiving and image archiving. So IBM's got a wide range of archiving capabilities and data migration capabilities that help to really minimize the amount of storage space that you're keeping on your primary storage. So now we're going to get into the data deduplication and compression, which is really what most of our competitors are talking about because that's their solution set. And on slide 22, we'll talk about the basics of deduplication. There's another term also called single instance storage that's used by IBM Centera and some others. And what they're doing is looking at the file level. They say if this file equals that file level, then let's make only one copy of it and create pointers to the rest. That's not as granular as what you see in a data deduplication application, where we actually take the files apart and actually look for chunks of data within the files that are common. So you may see, two application servers that are being used by TSM or being protected by TSM, and they may have similar files on them. You may have created a PowerPoint and sent it over to somebody else, and they've changed the slide. Well, most of that PowerPoint file is the same. When TSM or another deduplication technology looks at that, it can say, okay, 90% of this file is the same. Let's deduplicate that and then store the stuff that's different. And this has, a pretty dramatic effect on doing data reduction. Now, the biggest benefit to it is obviously do duplicating full backups. So if you're using any of our competitors' backup products where they're doing full backups, you know, and they're backing up all this data over and over and over again, it's the same. Deduplication can reduce that backup footprint by 95% or more, and that's what they're talking about there. So you know, this diagram on 22 basically says, okay, I've got number of files or data chunks called A, B, or C, and we look at that and compare them, and if they're the same, then we reduce them down to individuals and just create pointers to them to where the original data is stored. On slide 23, there's actually a lot of different places where you can apply data deduplication. And we apply some of them. We don't have all of these in IBM, but we do have a good number of them. We've got applications like email can do deduplication. Microsoft Exchange does it. If you send a PowerPoint file to 100 people in Microsoft Exchange or Outlook, the Exchange will only store one copy of it and point everybody else to that one copy. So they do it inside of the application. Some backup applications can perform it at the client or the remote office server app with deduplication. Avamar is a prime example of that from EMC. We're adding that in the next version of TSM. We'll have client-side deduplication. So in a remote office or where you have many, many servers that are all storing similar data, we can do deduplication at that layer. There are WAN devices, Riverbed, and Juniper, and F5, and a bunch of others who do some form of deduplication as they're transferring data from or between offices, say from a remote office to a data center. They'll know what they've already sent and won't send it again. So that's a basic form of deduplication. We're seeing some vendors try to put deduplication into primary storage. They're not being totally successful at that yet. It can slow down production applications, which would be a bad thing. So we'll keep an eye on that. Virtual tape libraries, most of them have some form of either single instance storage or data deduplication. We have a range that I'll talk about with our Protectio products that do deduplication in front of a virtual tape library scenario. And then backup servers, most of the backup servers now today have some form of dedupe, and TSM included. With TSM6, we added deduplication there. And then with NAS storage, the N series has deduplication built into it. Slide 24. So we have two deduplication solutions I'm going to talk about today. One is Tivoli Storage Manager, and one is Protectio, which is an acquisition company called Diligent last year. And there's lots of questions about when do you use which, and you wouldn't use both together. Okay, that's very important. Otherwise, you have to do your work twice, and that's not really smart. So with TSM Extended Edition, if you've got an environment where you have one server, one TSM server managing a number of client servers, that's fine. Use TSM's deduplication. TSM deduplication is great for improving recovery times because what we're doing now is storing more data on disk because we've reduced it by deduplication, and therefore less data needs to go to tape. So you can have more recovery points on disk, which allows you to do faster recoveries. We've set a number of somewhere around six terabytes. If you're managing about 6 terabytes of data or less, TSM is a good solution. Anything more than that, then you're probably going to run into performance problems, and then maybe the Protectio system would be better. So on the bottom half of this chart, the Protectio, the model number is TS7650. If you've got multiple TSM servers, so you've got an environment with 5, 10, 20 TSM servers all supporting many, many other servers, you can deduplicate across those servers with Protectio. That's very effective. If you've got other sources of data that are coming in to the back end, other than TSM, then Protectio would be helpful as well. Or if you're using somebody else's backup products, so if somebody's got Networker or Net Backup, and they want to apply deduplication to that, especially since they're performing all those full backups, then Protectio is a great product for that. Slide 26. a little bit about how we do deduplication in TSM. It's in the extended edition only, but it's free of charge. So if a customer has TSM extended edition, and if they upgrade to version 6, they get this deduplication function for no extra charge, as long as they're under maintenance. It'll improve. I talked about the recovery points and recovery times. It's effective with any kind of data that we're protecting. So if it's coming from an API from an application, if it's coming as an old backup, if it's HSM or archive data, it doesn't matter. It can all be deduplicated in the TSM disk pools. It operates as a post-process. So this is different than a lot of applications. So what we do is we perform the backup. Then in the background, you know, after the backup's performed, then we'll go through and analyze the data that we've backed up and see if do we have it already, and if so, we'll get rid of it and reduce the data and then reclaim the space. So it doesn't affect your backup application performance at all. It all happens as a back-end process. And it builds on the data compression that we already have built into the product, you know, using standard algorithms to reduce data based on the type of data it is. Now, when we introduced TSM 6 earlier this year, we talked about the deduplication ratios that we're seeing, and you know, it was like a 1.4 to 1. You know, so if you had 1.4 terabytes, we could knock it down to 1 terabyte. That wasn't very impressive, given that other folks are talking about 20 to 1 or 25 to 1. But again, you think about, you know, what they're talking about is data that's being duplicated first through full backups, and we're not because we're doing only incrementals. So we had an analyst firm, ESG, take a look at this and combine our incremental approach plus the deduplication and run a series of tests where they're doing backups of new data and old data over a period of time. And after just 11 weeks, we got to this 95% or, you know, 20 to 1 reduction ratio through the combination of our technologies. So we're very competitive with any deduplication technology out there with TSM because of the incremental only and then with compression and deduplication after that. Slide 27, just a little more information on compression. We use a standard 2-to-1 compression. We do it at a byte level. We'll do it at a block level. We'll do it at subfile level. It's, you know, we've put a lot of thought into how to reduce the amount of data that's being stored. Slide 28, I'm starting to move a little faster because I want to make sure we leave time for questions. Slide 28, we have probably the best technology out there for managing tapes in a tape environment. And I should say that there's actually a green side to the story as well. I mean, tape is probably the most green storage technology on the planet. You know, you can store large amounts of data for long periods of time for really no power or cooling. You know, you put it on a shelf and it can sit there for a long time. So, you know, think green as well as you're thinking about this. As you're going to migrate all this older data from your primary storage off the tape, then it becomes a green story as well as a data reduction story. Within TSM, we have the ability to reclaim tape space. So as data becomes expired off the tapes over time, you say, you know, this data is no longer needed, let's get it off the tape, we can then compress that data onto other tapes and save space that way. And then moving on to slide 30 is the Protect Tier solution. And it's now a range of solutions. IBM acquired Protect Tier, I think, in the first quarter last year, maybe early second quarter. And they've created a nice line of products around this. And it's really the biggest, I mean, the fastest, most powerful deduplication solution on the marketplace. So we first off, you know, went after the high end of the market. And now we're feeding more into the, you know, moving down market a little bit to creating smaller, less fast solutions, less expensive to get into to other parts of the marketplace. But it is a performance leader in terms of you know, apple-to-apple comparisons of doing deduplication. It does it inline, so as data is being streamed into the backup through the backup application, it's deduplicating it on the fly, and it does it very, very quickly, up to 1 gigabyte per second. And it can store up to 1 petabyte. And now if you're talking about a 95 or 20-to-1 reduction, that means you're really storing up to 20 petabytes of source data on 1 petabyte of capacity within the Protect Tier system. The data integrity is unquestioned in this product. You know, with like a Centera, they have problems with what they call hash crashes or hash collisions, where the the signature file that's created when they look at the data may actually have, you know, multiple other files that create that same signature. And so you might have two files that look like they're the same, but they're really very different, and you end up deleting one of them, and that's a big problem. Well, Protector does multiple hashes. It does, you know, it has overlapping algorithms that really prevent the creation of collisions. Reliability, you know, it's based on IBM products, you know, IBM storage underneath, and IBM's System X servers. And it's production proven. You know, it's been in the market for a long time. First as Diligent, and now as IBM. And of course, we've got a world-class service behind it. On slide 31 is the range of products now. Started out actually at the right-hand side with the gateways. So basically, a server platform that did all the work, and then you can attach any storage to the back end of it. And now we've worked our way back to the left, creating appliances that the customer can just wheel in and say, okay, here's my virtual tape library solution using a Protector engine to reduce the amount of data that we're protecting over over a wide range of input sources. So now we've got one that's all the way down to just 7 terabytes of usable space and 100 megabytes of throughput, very low cost, you know, really geared towards the mid-market space. Slide 32, if you were in slideshow mode, it's kind of just a cool way of showing how 25 storage systems can be down to one. 33 is a review of when to use Protector, when to use TSM for deduplication. Again, don't use them both at the same time, because if you deduplicated in TSM, you'd have to rehydrate that or undo the deduplication before you sent it off to Protector. That's kind of a waste of resources. Slide 34 is another customer case study, Industry Canada, which is very similar for those of you in the U.S. It's the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. They basically redesigned their entire infrastructure and really reduced the amount of storage capacity, backup servers they needed, administration costs. Through a combination of these technologies, including TSM and Protector. So it's a good story to reference if you're talking data reduction to a customer. Finally, slide 36. You know, why IBM? You know, we're unique in the industry because we do have this wide range of solutions that we can apply to data reduction. It's not just deduplication to fix the problem that we're creating because of the full backups. That's, you know, EMCs or somebody else's problem or, you know, their pitch. You know, they're saying, okay, my backup product makes you create all these copies, so why don't I sell you a deduplication solution to get rid of all those copies? We've got a solution up front that eliminates that problem, but we have a number of other solutions to help you manage data even further. So it's a comprehensive set of reduction technologies. We have a broad portfolio of data reduction solutions and give customers really the choice. Where do they want to deploy this in their environment? If they deployed it all, great. It's a huge investment, but, you know, we can really help them out. If they just want to go with TSM to reduce the amount of data they're storing on their primary systems and reduce the amount of data they're storing in their secondary systems, that's great. If they don't want to go with TSM, they can go with Protector. You know, there's a wide range of things that customers could do with our solutions. The idea is to start the conversation around data reduction. Don't start it around deduplication. Okay? Deduplication is fixing the symptom. It's not fixing the problem. Start with data reduction. That's the main message I want to make sure everybody takes from this. And we're continuing with our research and development on this. So as I mentioned, TSM will have a client-side deduplication function. Fastback is coming out with server-side and deduplication, and then we'll have WAN deduplication as well. So it becomes a very effective competitor to Avamar in the near future. So we're continuing to invest. Slide 37 shows where we are today, okay, with data reduction. The red stars, you know, we're only doing incremental backups. We're not creating that duplicate data. So we have that in CDP for files. We have that in Fastback. We have that in TSM. The green star is data compression and tape management. That's TSM. And then the blue stars is target side deduplication, which is TSM and Protector. But and as I said, we'll add more stars as we go forward. So I'll finish up with slide 39, next steps. What can you do to get this started? Obviously, start the conversation, like I said, around data reduction with your customers. You can bring in IBM You can bring in GTS to do assessments to help the customer, or the partner can come in and do an assessment of, you know, where is the customer's data, you know, how can they create better policies around what they have. Then we can help them, you know, decide where to deploy data reduction technologies. Is it in the backup? Is it in the migration? Is it in the, you know, in the virtual tape library? You can also use the RBVA tool, the ROI analysis tool that we have to help sell this. And with that, I will open it up for questions. Lisa, if you could.
Thank you. We will now begin the formal question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. You will be announced prior to asking your question. To withdraw your question, please press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please.
Thanks, Lisa. While the questions are coming in, I'll say what we're doing around this story. We are just launched a couple of days ago a play in North America. Ron Brochek's on the line with us to answer questions. But they're launching a very strong sales play in North America around this. We've also got teletactics in place. I'm getting a teleprogression kit created for this to help out. We've got this presentation. I'm working on a white paper that basically tells the same story. Our technical folks, our product management folks, have created a similar deck that they've used at the IBM System Storage Symposium recently. We'll put this into the Pulse agenda. So you know, this is going to be a big push for us over the next 6 months. EMC made a huge acquisition of Data Domain. They spent over $2 billion on it, way overspent on it, because they see this as a big market opportunity. We've got the story to tell that's better than Data Domain. We've got the story that's better to tell than Avamar. EMC wants to be the data deduplication king. We need to be the data reduction king and squash that story. Okay. Any questions, Lisa?
Yes. Peter McNamara, you may ask your question.
Thank you. Hello, Rich. Peter McNamara from IBM UK. Very good presentation, so thank you for that. Just a couple of comments. One is on chart 30, you said Protectia does multiple hashes for its deduplication. My understanding is that it doesn't do hashes at all. It does byte-level comparison, which is one of its key differentiators because that means it isn't susceptible to the hash collisions that you'd mentioned for the other products. And I think you'd also mentioned 20-to-1 reduction, which is a sort of thing that Protectia gets on the likes of NetBackup. But for TSM environments, I think the Protectia guys tend to talk about 10-to-1 dedupe because there is already that deduplication that you've spoken about because of the incremental forever.
Yep, you're correct on both, Peter. Thanks. As I'm reading this the bullet there, you're absolutely right about the byte level differential.
Okay.
Not the hash.
All right, and just one other thing. I've just noticed chart 40 at the end. It's got a link there to the tape sales kit going to the TS7530, which is, of course, our FalconStor-based virtual tape library that we withdrew from marketing in July. So I guess delete the TS7530 bit, and the rest of it should still take people to the tape sales kit.
Yeah, I should have put it. That was supposed to be the 7650, the
right.
Protector. Thanks for pointing that out. I'll fix that.
Okay, very good presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else, Lisa?
Bob Rellis, you may ask your question.
Yes, Rich, thank you very much. An excellent presentation. The only hiccup that I had was downloading it from our internal website. Hopefully nobody else had a problem. I did ping a couple people, and they did have problems. So,
I did too. I tried to open it directly and it didn't open, and then I saved it to the disk and then it worked okay.
So. Interesting. Okay.
I'm working. This is Donita. If anybody did not get the presentation, please send me an email, dkmorris@us.ibm.com, and I'll get it out to you right away. Also, I am going to check and reposting it. We're not sure what's going on, so it was working fine earlier. And if anybody actually did get it, I'd appreciate an email from you just to know, you know, how many did or didn't get it. So anyway, any help you can give, I'd appreciate it because we want to make sure it's posted correctly for everyone and you can get access to materials. Thanks.
Thanks, Bob.
Great presentation, Rich. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Udaya, you may ask your question. Mr. Udaya, your line is open.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yeah, I have just like maybe a couple of two questions or three.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at slide 19, what you talked about, archive and retrieve, and then the, with the TSM going into the disk pools. If you use the disk pools for your archive data, and then you still use it for the backup data, how do you now reduce the data growth? That is number one. Then
yeah.
Number two is I need to understand what happens to the open records during an online backup. When you're doing an online backup, what happens to the open records? How does TSM treat open records?
So
then the third one is about the stop files. I don't think I got a good understanding of your explanation on stop files.
Okay. So the first question is, you know, TSM manages its disk pools in different ways. So it will set up a pool based on archive data. It basically assigns attributes to each file that it's managing. It knows where it is, what its status is, you know, whether it's an archive or an HSM or a backup file, and it will, you know, manage that file accordingly based on the attributes that are set based on the policies. So it knows, and there's, you know, now in TSM there's a DB2 database underneath the covers of it that manages all that information. I'm hoping that answers your question. The second question was on was it subfiles?
Opera records.
I don't understand opera records, but was that?
Yeah, what I'm saying is if you're doing an online backup,
yes,
and then people are still accessing some tables on the database, you have some records that are open that people are still accessing, maybe posting some transactions and all the rest of it. How does TSM treat have open records?
Right. So we have two products called TSM for Advanced Copy Services and TSM for Copy Services. And what these products basically do is take snapshots of application-aware snapshots. And what they'll do is they will tell the application, I'm going to perform a backup, and I need you to stop processing your data. I need you to flush all the information that's in memory that hasn't been posted to tables yet. Get that all done. And then quiesce the database or stop it so that the backup can happen. And again, it's an incremental backup, so it's quick. And while that is happening, customers can still access data. They can do reads. Any writes that come into the database are queued up and not applied until the backup is complete.
Okay.
So that's so it's an add-on product called TSM for Advanced Copy Services. And these products will be replaced, actually, in the next quarter with a new product called Flash Copy Manager. Civilly Storage Flash Copy Manager, and that can be used with or without TSM. And then your third question was on
subfiles.
Yeah. So what happens is when a policy says that this file is it's time to move, okay, from the production system to a backup system or a secondary system, TSM will copy that data into the secondary system, and it will instead, in its place, write a very small file, which has information for TSM that says, you know, this file is now in the secondary system. Now, when the production application or the user tries to access that file, it looks the same except that the size of the file has changed. Okay, but when they open it up, it triggers TSM to go and retrieve that file from the secondary system. So it takes a little longer to get the data, but it's completely transparent to the user or to the application. Does that answer your questions?
Yeah. Fine. Good. Thank you.
Okay. We still have a little more time, Lisa. Any more questions?
There are no further questions at this time.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for attending. Like I said, this is going to be a big push for us on the storage side over the next 3-6 months, and if there's anything I can do to help, to enable you, to enable our partners to really push forward our data reduction story. And, you know, and it is a cross IBM initiative. You know, we've got products from SDG, we've got products from information management, we've got products from Tivoli, as well as services that we can apply to this as well. I think this is a very strong way to go into your customer and solve one of their biggest problems. And this is one of the areas where customers are investing today. They are looking for ways to better manage this data growth that's out of control. And I think that if you go in and talk to them about data reduction, they're going to be very receptive. I think it's a very good way to start a conversation. nobody wants to talk about replacing their backup application. Everybody has backup. But if you go in and say, you know, I can help you reduce your storage footprint, and I can help you make management of your data much easier and reduce your administration costs, I think that customers will, I think that it will be much more receptive. So again, let me know if you have any questions or need anything, and I'll be happy to help. And thank you very much for attending. Thank you, Lisa.